inappropriate pro wrestling show in the motherfucking world. Woo!
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
You just made the list.
This right here is a family.
Hey, this is professional wrestler and professional podcaster Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
My name is Killer Cross.
This is the Smoke Show, Scarlett Bordeaux.
What's up, guys? You have the Machine, Brian Cage.
This is Ryan from Pro Wrestling Tees.
Sadly, you are not listening to The Art of Wrestling, but you made a decent choice because you're listening.
You are now listening to...
When you're listening...
And you're listening to...
Did you listen to Breaking Down the Ring?
Breaking Down the Ring.
Breaking Down the Ring.
Breaking Down the Ring.
Breaking Down the Ring.
Break it down!
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Breaking Down the Ring, the most inappropriate pro wrestling show in the motherfucking world. We are your ring crew.
Just Nick.
And me, the almighty one, Mikey himself. NXT TakeOver in your house 2021 has just finished, and we're going to talk about that shit. Why? Because it was pretty good. Best NXT show I've ever seen? No, probably not. Worst NXT show I've ever seen? No, definitely not. But we will talk about each match as we saw them, as we enjoyed them. There's only five to go over, so this shouldn't be too long of a show. Please stick out all the way to the end. And before that, feel free, while you're listening, to head at breakingdowntheRing.com. You can shop our official merchandise. It is Pride Month, ladies and gentlemen, in our Pride shirt. All of the proceeds, 100% of the profits of this shirt, go to support the Trevor Project, not just Pride Month, every month. BreakingDownTheRing.com. Go check out our Pride shirt. It's our logo and the wonderful rainbow Pride flag. You purchase that shirt. Again, all of the profits go to support the Trevor Project. So let's talk about NXT TakeOver in your house. Five matches. Almost all of the titles were on the line. The Cruiserweight Championship and the Women's Tag Team titles were the only ones not on the line. It started off with a winner-takes-all six-man tag team match, and the winner took the North American title and NXT Tag Team Championship. Had to put the plural on there. Bronson Reed, who was the North American, champion, MSK's the tag team champions, taking on Legado del Fantasma of Santana Escobar, Joaquin Wilde, and Raul Mendoza. Reed, Carter, and Lee retain their belts with a nice win in this match. Match went about 14 minutes. Nick, talk about it. What were your likes? What were your dislikes? Do you enjoy the one spot where they found that little person and they threw him through a wall? That didn't happen. That never happened.
You had me thinking for a second. I was like, oh shit, was I not paying attention?
Did I miss the dwarf spot?
Damn it. It was a good match. It didn't go too long. It wasn't too short. It felt like that 14 minute spot was just enough. You know, yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch. I've really come to like Bronson Reed a lot. There was a spot with the senton when Joaquin Phoenix and Reed.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Where MSK were they each had, you know, one dude had his hands, one dude had his feet, and Bronson Reed did the senton right through him. That was pretty sweet. Never really seen anything like that myself personally. It was fun to watch. Escobar going through the wall was cool. I thought that worked really well. Yeah, I mean, overall, I didn't really expect Legado del Fantasma to win the match, so, you know, it wasn't anything surprising, but yeah, it was cool.
It's crazy. On our pro wrestling scorecard picks, I thought there were like three matches on this, maybe even the entire fucking card, right, that just seemed like you kind of knew every win on this, right? Like, no, maybe not the entire card. Like, there's definitely one that could have went either way. But like the Xia Li match, kind of assumed she was going to win. Raquel Gonzalez, she kind of assumed she was going to retain.
Yep.
Reed and MSK, I kind of felt like they were going to all retain. And Karrion Kross seemed like it was the time, unless some sort of major interference happened. Right. And there was a lot of talk about major interference, but this is one of those matches where I was like, I think this is 100% a Reed MSK. When yet on our pro wrestling scorecards, not everyone picked it. Z, of course, is the only one who picked Phantasma. And it's when I saw his pick, I was like, maybe, like, it made me possibly think that maybe it could happen. Not so much because I was like, yo, these guys need to drop the titles, but more of a, if you take out Bronson Reed and you do, you know what I'm saying? You can be a 3-on-1 to where it was just an overpowering and that's why they lost. But I just didn't feel like it, taking the title off of Bronson Reed yet was smart, right? You just put it on him. Everyone seemed felt like it was, they put it on him too late. Like he should have beat Gargano the last pay-per-view, you know? So it's like, why would you take it off of him right away? So I agree with you. I felt like these guys were going to win. I thought the match as a whole was subdued, I want to say. Like, and the only reason I say subdued is because if you look at, like, these guys are all high flyers, every one of them, right? But if you go to the pro wrestling scorecard, they had the aerial moves, right? 15, that's it. That's all it was 15 aerial moves for a team of, even Bronson Reed's finisher is a fucking splash off the top rope, right? I felt like 15 moves, it seems subdued. Now, granted, then you get into the ladder match later and you're like, okay, I get it. And it makes sense. We are the ones who are kicking off the show. We want to set a good tone. We want to make sure that everyone that follows is doing something different. And then once you saw the things that followed this, you were like, all right, I get it. They were the ones who had the spot going through the barricade. And it seems like the barricade didn't even fully break like it was supposed to. You know, like when Reed went through it, like the one fell and the other one was just like, bah, 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 bah.
Really, yeah, it looked really good.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of that. I still can't fucking stand the fencing on their plexiglass. The chain link?
Yeah.
Not because I don't like the fencing, but because it's not connected at the bottom. So when they're hitting it, it's just ting, 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 ting. It sounds fucking horrible. Me personally, it annoys me. I also know it annoys Daniel from Pro Wrestling Scorecards because every time we watch it, we're like, they haven't fucking fixed that fucking fence yet. God right. Damn it.
No, I totally agree with that.
So good match. I agree with you. Some really good spots. The ending to that, you know, started with Santana Escobar grabbing the belt and just like, oh, I'm ready to go. And then nailed by Reed. And then, of course, they knocked Wild out and then finished Mendoza in a great way. I thought the ones who were supposed to win won. Very well put together match. Did you have anything that you thought was negative about this, or was it like, hey, great start?
No, not really. I think looking back on it, after what you were saying, you know, with getting the amount of high flyer spots in and what have you, I don't know, maybe it kind of felt like they were squeezing everything in. When I look back at it, like, okay, we have to make sure we hit all these different spots and now the match can end. Like, that's not match, taking though. Anything away from it, but I don't know, I felt it more so in this one than I have, you know, recently.
Yeah, I mean, they even did that in the main event. Like, all of a sudden, then, you know, Adam Cole hits his finisher, and then Kyle O'Reilly hits his finisher. And that's just how any type of big amount of people in one match usually ends. I didn't feel like it was rushed. It was more of a, wow, I'm kind of surprised they didn't go more nuts than they did. You know, I thought they were a little subdued. But again, it made sense once you watched the rest of the pay-per-view. Next match, Xia Li with Boa. And Mei Ying, she kept her undefeated streak going against Mercedes Martinez. Okay, look, before I even talk about this match, let me talk about this fucking undefeated streak, okay? I wasn't a major fan of it with Asuka. I'm really not a major fan of it with her, especially when the whole precipice of this is it started at the Mae Young Classic. And then you show Xia Li losing to Mercedes Martinez. And now you're saying she's trying to keep her undefeated streak going. You're like, fuck you. Right. You literally said this started because she lost and it was fucking embarrassing to her family. And then he goes, she's trying to keep her undefeated streak going. What? She's defeated.
Right. Well, they did mention since the Mae Young Classic. They did drop that in there at one point, but still.
It's not an undefeated streak. It's irrelevant streak
at that point.
It's not an undefeated. Then why aren't you talking about Roman Reigns' undefeated streak? Right?
Yeah.
That motherfucker's been undefeated for quite a minute now. Not talking about that. If you wanted to say... No, I can't. Like, even Asuka was losing before that in the other promotion. She won in NXT. She eventually lost in the WWE. But it's like they're always talking about this, and it always gets brought up against the Bill Goldberg undefeated streak.
Of course.
And the thing about the Bill Goldberg undefeated streak, though, is it's more legitimate than theirs. And that is fucking being very, very liberal with the word legitimate, because I know the numbers inflated, right? We're not trying to say that the numbers the proper one, but Bill Goldberg was not a wrestler before WCW, and when he came into WCW, he was undefeated for real. So I feel like these undefeated streaks are just bullshit to get you there, right? To WWE did it with Asuka to get rid of the Goldberg talk, but it doesn't really, because he really was undefeated before he won the title.
I get what you're saying. It's like they're reaching to try and find that next star that they might be able to get a huge, you know, following behind because they're undefeated. Well, if you're going to do it, the person's really got to be undefeated. Wrestling fans now know, if you have any fucking clue who these people are, you know the real truth, so you can't get behind it when they say, oh, they're undefeated. No, they're really not, though. So, right. And they're never going to find that again unless they find, and they're not going to, they're never going to find it again.
That's a pure diamond in the rough. Like, you know, you could do it with The Rock's daughter. She is like never wrestled before, training in the WWE developmental system. She is at the PC. It's possible to do it with somebody like her. And then I'd sit back and go, that's a legitimate undefeated streak.
Mm-hmm.
She was never a wrestler. You know what I'm saying? She never really had any matches to be noted or anything like that.
Sanctioned.
Right. None of them sanctioned matches, which that I'd go with. I'd even allow the sanctioned thing. Right. Like, it's an unsanctioned match. So it's not on the books. Even if she lost that, you know, she wasn't sanctioned, you know, like, I guess it feels like maybe they're just kind of playing the sports angle of it. You know, the Miami Dolphins undefeated, you know, new season.
Well, you know, what's kind of cheesy for me is the fact that, okay, her last loss was at the Mae Young Classic. And this bitch's name that she's like her fucking lord or whatever is named Maya. What is it? Maya what? The chick with the mask?
Mae Young.
It doesn't work for me. It doesn't fucking work.
I didn't even put that together till you said it. Okay. Match though. Your thoughts?
It was a good match. I don't know, Mercedes Martinez, you know, I can't get on board with her. Like, okay, she's older and, you know, she's been around the block, but to me, she hasn't, and I haven't been able to get behind that idea with the way they've presented it. So, but I don't know. I didn't really expect anything other than Xia Li to win this match. The match in itself was, you know, it was okay. They did keep mentioning during the match, and it didn't have anything to do with the match, but they mentioned during this match and the previous match about how it's the most attendance at the Capitol Wrestling Center in Capitol Wrestling Center history. I'm like, dude, there's like 10 more fucking people there than there was on Tuesday. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
I was talking about that with Daniel as well. Like, okay, we get it. The Capitol Wrestling Center opened up during the fucking pandemic, though. Let's not make it seem like this is some fucking egregious feat that you have completed at NXT TakeOver, like, in your house.
Wow, they're right.
There are 10 more people here than Tuesday.
But yeah, the match was okay. It wasn't anything to write home about. You know, it is what it is. I did like the fact that we're finally getting to see Mae Young get involved with the match, or not with the match, but, you know, she had a little bit of action. Yeah, there you go. Whatever.
Mae Young's dead.
Threw Mercedes Martinez off the
went through a table, gave entrance. Birth to a hand, died.
All in one night. She's dead.
There you go. It's Mae, not so young anymore. That's fucked up.
Classic.
I'm not taking that one back. Yeah, I agree. Finally, she got up. She stood up. She did something. And with the way they had that ramp set up, I could have swore fire would shoot out of it. Like, I was like, there's going to be something coming out of this, right? Like, she's standing up. It's something big. Mercedes Martinez, I ain't scared of you, bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, yeah, the bitch word happened. So, you know, she's serious in WWE. That's right.
Oh, man.
Right. That's how you know the ladies are serious. Bitch. So,
oh shit, whoa,
right, oh my god, she dropped that B word. Careful. Oh, she called her a female dog. I can't believe it. Oh my god. So yeah, she stood up and I'm like, there's gonna be fire, and then there wasn't any fire, and then she just grabbed her by the throat and she got hit with the chair, and then she took her by the hand and threw her off the ramp. Okay,
all right,
WWE is doing a lot of supernatural dumb shit. I feel like if Bray Wyatt's not behind it, I'm not with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Lily. You know, it's a crazy situation, right? You're just looking at this. Obviously, she was going to be involved in some sort of way eventually, and this is how they're using her. So I don't know. I agree with you. I thought the match was all right. Nothing to write home about. If I did, the letter would be, "Dear Mom and Dad, Zaya won again. Cool. Love you,
as well."
Right, home all as well. Wish you were here. And at this, even at the same time, it was only a 7-minute match, so it's not like it just felt like it went on forever. It was just like, it was kind of the match you expected. On the pro wrestling scorecard, I was like, is this going to be over or under 14 and a half minutes? I'm like, whoa, way to overshoot it there, buddy.
Yeah, and the false finishes, there was one.
Yeah, one. And so, like, that's good to me, right? I feel like the whole false finish thing needs to kind of go away to matter more. And I feel like a lot of wrestling companies are doing that now, even like with these the interrupted pin attempts. You know, we were talking about that as well during the show, Daniel and I, how it was like, we have these numbers that we think it's going to be. We're all doing like 5, 6, 7 interrupted pin attempts, and it's like 1, 2. And that's awesome, because it matters more than when it does happen, because then you're like, oh shit, you know, because the whole steal your finisher thing wasn't popular until Austin Rock did it at WrestleMania 17, right? They were trading finishers. It was kind of unheard of, not really, but that was like the main stage to where you finally saw it. And, it mattered then. And then all of a sudden everyone was doing it. Now it seems like people are trying to get away, and finishers are starting to matter a little bit more in professional wrestling. And I like how this one, was done here as well, because again, like you said, you know, we did the near falls, and which is just a 2 count, you know, it's like, when you go for the pin attempt, the story makes sense. You feel like you're getting the win. You're not just doing it. Even though, like, if you're talking about Impact Wrestling, the night before, there was a great fucking line from D'Lo Brown in commentary. Someone went for a finish, a pin, and they kicked out. And D'Lo's like, that pin attempt was not to see if they were going to win this match. That pin attempt was to see how much their opponent has left in the tank. How fast did you kick out? How well, you know, how strong was the kick out? And I'm like, that's a good sell job on that fucking that nice. Pin. Yeah, I really like we give their commentary shit a lot, but you know, Josh Matthews back for the last couple of them, and him with D'Lo on Impact's Against All Odds. I liked it, and that was one of those lines that I was like very impressed with. And I, you know, you got to put it, you give it where it's, credit is due. So again, this match, the filler one of the show for sure. Wasn't expecting too much out of it. Didn't get so much out of it. But the next one went about 19-20 minutes ladder match for the vacant. I laughed so hard for the vacant $1 million championship. No shit.
No way.
Right. What? It was vacant. Vacant because it was deactivated in fucking 2010. So 11 years later, this belt makes its return and it's activated. So we get the new champion and LA Knight defeating Cameron Grimes in this ladder match. I will say this one, most of us thought Cameron Grimes was going to win. Three of the five of us thought Cameron. Walt and Z were the only ones to pick LA Knight. Nick, you obviously picked Cameron Grimes. Tell me why you thought he did. You thought he was going to win. And did you like the way they had LA Knight do it?
I picked Cameron Grimes, and I just felt like it made sense because they've been building him up as this, you know, new hotshot millionaire, the story about how he earned the money. It just seemed like it made sense for him to win the match, but then, you know, you bring in LA Knight, and it's been kind of short-lived with them talking about his status and, you know, him in this mansion and whatever. And I'm an LA Knight fan. I was a fan in NWA when he was Eli Drake. I don't know much about him before all that, but I've been a fan of his. So I wanted him to win, but, you know, I went with Grimes. But I think overall, even with all that being said, I think the right guy won. I think you don't need to give Cameron Grimes the $1 million belt because he's over. And when you went into this match, it seemed like it was going to be, you had two heels going up against each other, but Cameron Grimes ended up being more of the babyface in this match. And people are getting behind the whole to the moon thing. They're into his character. So he's way over. He doesn't need that belt. And I think with Eli Knight, you got to give him the belt to help him get over, because right now I don't think, even as a heel, what?
Who?
LA Drake. I don't think you know, he's,
wait,
he's,
what did you just call him again?
LA Knight. Right,
first called him Eli Knight, and then I said who, and you're like, my bad, LA Drake.
Well, he comes out there and, you know, he's trying to get the whole L.A. Knight thing over because Eli Drake was over, and it's not working no matter how you spin it. I wanted Cameron to win. I wanted Eli to win. L.A. Fuck, man.
L.A. Knight. You were right.
No, but the match was really good. It was a ladder match. It wasn't the best, wasn't the worst, but I did enjoy it. I always enjoy a ladder match. And that spot with Cameron Grimes at the end going, you know, through the ladder on the outside of the ring, that was, he took some good bumps. So,
dude, that one that LA Knight hit where it was the suplex onto the ladder when it was sideways.
Yeah.
And then his arm landed. I really thought he fucked his arm up because when they showed the replay, it looked like it twisted where it wasn't supposed to, the ladder twisted where it wasn't supposed to, and end up hitting his arm and fucking him up a little bit. I was shocked that he was not more injured than he was and was able to keep going. Again, it very much could come out that he is a little bit injured after that, but you're right. I thought that was a really good ladder match. Some really good spots. I enjoyed how Grimes hopped up onto the scaffolding, jumped off of that onto him. I really appreciated LA Knight going up to DiBiase, and he like pointing at him, he's like, that's going to be your $1 million champion. That guy's going to be your $1 million champion. I agree that it was, you know, Grimes being built up as this millionaire off of the Bitcoin and the Doge and the GameStop, and, you know, he hit all that money, and it was built like that. But I also picked Grimes just because it was like LA Knight needs a redemption story to me. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been losing. So why are we just going to give him the win now? You know, have him lose and have to have some sort of redemption story to at least where, you know, the guy, people are going to cheer for him. Like, cause like you said, it seemed like two kind of heels were going at it in this. Mm-hmm. And if you have LA Knight lose, you can kind of give him a redemption arc, even if it's a heel redemption arc, you can do that. But him just winning it, I mean, I'm not mad about it. I think that he is a great wrestler. I think that he is wonderful on the microphone. I think that him has this title as the $1 million champion could be a great catalyst for him in NXT to move on to bigger, better things. I, at no point during this match, was bored. Mm-hmm. And that says a lot. Because they told a lot of stories in this match. Hell, man, no one even got to touch the belt until 15 minutes into the match. Like, yeah, the ladders weren't used in, were used in different ways. Huge fan of that, right?
Well, and you know what? What threw me off about that is when they raised the belt to start the match, my first thought was, man, that's really fucking high. Even for the taller ladders, that's really fucking high. And then they started bringing ladders, and I'm like, nope, not going to be able to get it with that one. They brought in a taller ladder. I'm like, nope, you're not going to be able to get it with that one.
Then the golden ladder.
That's right.
It's fucking Barrett. Oh, that's got to be heavy. It's made of real gold. And then fucking Grimes is just must be gold plated because gold wasn't as heavy. He didn't have as much trouble as I thought he was gonna have with that. Oh, way to pull that one back, bro. Not even mad about it. Not even mad about it. But it was hilarious. I laughed really hard at that because when he just tossed it over, he's like, "Oh, it must be gold plated." Way to save it, buddy. But yeah, it was done in a different way. And that's a good thing. That's a real good thing, because ladder matches seem to have this unwritten code of try and get to it. And this one, they did it real quick. The ladder, you know, the ladder was then knocked down, and then they got into the match, and then no one went for it again until 5 minutes before the match is over. That's awesome. That is it's different. It's really good storytelling. And it's just, once again, whoever's having their input, most likely HBK, you know, most likely Mr. Hickenbottom is the one putting his stamp on these ladder matches. And he should, because he didn't perform the first ladder match ever, but the WrestleMania 10 is, you know, considered the, if not one of the greatest matches, ladder matches of all time. So right, it makes sense that he has his hand in it. I do like how Bret Hart really gets butt hurt when people say that it's the first ever ladder match. And he's like, no, I was in the first ever ladder match. But get it, dude. You hate Sean. Shut up.
Right. you hate Shawn Michaels without telling me you hate Shawn Michaels.
I was in the first ever ladder match. That's a TikTok. That's a fucking TikTok. Next match was the NXT Women's Championship match. Raquel Gonzalez defended her belt against Ember Moon. Look, I'm not trying to shit on the match. That's not what I'm getting at. I am, however, trying to shit on her back flex. Like, when she comes out and she shows the title,
I know exactly what you're
talking. And then she's standing there like, I'm flexing my back, and I'm like, bro, you do not have a cut back. Like, it's not, no. It is, I'm not trying to say that it is not a muscular back. I'm saying, if you're going to use a spotlight specifically on this, it better look like you're going into the Arnold and you have these cuts that people are like, damn, that is fucking, man, filleted, sharp, nice, chiseled. Holy shit. And she has, oh, looks like she works out.
Yeah, she's got a
bar. Like nothing special, nothing like 100%. You can tell there's something there because you work out, but it's not like, wow, she, holy shit, is just defining that. So that's just my shit talk on that, because that kind of throws me off. And it, I just want to shit talk it because, you know, she's the first ever Mexican Latin American champion in WWE. Not like there were 11 more before her.
Sure.
Fuck, dude.
When was that?
Oh, they did. They fucking said that. She said that, or no, maybe she didn't say it. WWE tweeted it. And I even went on a BDR cast, go to our Twitter. I fucking quote tweeted it and I put Bailey. I was like, fucking idiots. Like, Bailey, what about Melina when she was the Divas champion? Anyway, we're not going to get into that. Well, I will say, fucking horseshit, WWE. Give respect to where respect is due. Stop fucking trying to make something out of nothing. Fucking hate it. This match, though, Nick, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was okay. The whole back thing, I totally agree. I think that every time she comes out and does that, I like Ember Moon a lot. I've always been a fan of hers. I think she works really well in the ring. There were a couple times that I wasn't on board with some of the things that were happening. Like when Ember, I think it was this past Tuesday, she hit the Eclipse on Raquel Gonzalez after she was trying to powerbomb her or some shit, and that worked, but that happened again. I feel like it happened again twice in this match, and the second time it just didn't really look right. But I really do enjoy Raquel Gonzalez's finisher, the Chingana powerbomb. I had to make sure I got that name right. I like that move a lot. Every time she hits it, it's with sheer force.
Yeah.
Like
you would, I think it's a real good finisher for her. Yes.
You would think her back is a fucking nightmare, but instead it's just a back, you know.
It's but just anyway. A dream.
Yeah. The ref in this one kind of sucked. I've seen her before, but there was a spot where Dakota Kai put Raquel Gonzalez's leg up on the rope, and the ref like counted one and then moved to get into position, but the time that it took for her to move into the position, then that could have been two, and then she hit two, and then the legs on the row. I was like, all right, that works, like maybe not. So I don't know, the whole arc of the match, just it just kind of let the gas out of it with those couple things. So, you know, it was okay.
The fight spot between Shotzi and Dakota Kai, they must have thought the camera was off them because they were going up that side and then just stopped fighting real quick.
They ran to
walk,
the back.
To walk off. Like, wait, what? You're not angry at each other anymore? Like, no, we're really cool. Best friends. Friends forever. All right, let's go. that was a very glaring thing on that, but I think I agree very much with your assessment. There was a couple times the ref seemed to be out of position. Raquel's finisher is spectacular. I feel like if you're going to revisit a spot that you tried to pull off in any time before the match, on any show, it needs to be bigger and better than the one that you did the week before, day before, whatever before. Otherwise, you made a spot that people went, oh, that was sweet, to, well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I've seen it before, was better before, you know, like the sequel is usually worse than the original. You know, you kind of want to make that happen. Empire Godfather 2 style, you know, like, whoa, holy shit. They made it better. I thought Raquel needed to go stay over. She needed to become state champion. Sorry. Ember Moon. I think it's great that she's trying to, you know, become a 2-time NXT champion. I feel like they're really inflating her fucking NXT run because she just couldn't beat Baszler. Like, it's not like it's not a fresh thing. She was like losing left and right and then won and then left. right? Yeah. Like she won, lost to Baszler again, left. That was it. I feel like trying to build her as this massively major influenced competitor when everyone who's watching is like, dude, this was like 2 years ago. We fucking know how bad it was. Like, stop. Like, it's again, great. She has an amazing finisher and I think she's a great wrestler as well. She was not this fucking all encompassing force in the NXT women's division. So again, I feel like the overinflation of NXT is starting to become a little bit WWE style, where it's like, hey, we got to make people sound like they're more credible than they are. Just say she's a badass. She's a great fucking wrestler. And she is. She really is. Mm-hmm. But she is not anywhere near champion status to where you're like, wow, fucking one of the best women's champions they had. As a matter of fact, I don't even think she held that belt for more than a month. Right? Maybe even maybe it was a pay-per-view. Like she won it. And then, you know what? I'm going to look at this now specifically because I need to know. If I'm typing, if I'm talking about it, I'm going to talk about it. Ember Moon. Well, she held it for 140 days.
Really?
Yeah. She won it at TakeOver War Games and in the Fatal 4-Way, and then she lost it to Shayna Baszler.
Was it the next pay-per-view?
It may have been. Because it was TakeOver War Games. And then TakeOver New Orleans. So let's see. TakeOver War Games. And then. No. Then Ember retained against Shayna. So it must have been two. Yeah. Wait. Okay, yeah.
Trying to remember back that
Philadelphia. Far. Yeah, Philadelphia, then New Orleans. So she held it for two takeovers. All right, 140 days, not too bad, you know, but in the realm of things, of people who have held it, Shayna Baszler held it for 133 days after that, then Kairi won it for 71 days, and then Shayna held it for 416. At the time, it was the shortest reign. Ember's was the shortest reign for the NXT belt. Paige had it for 308, then 258 for Charlotte, 192 for Sasha, 223 for Bayley, 510 for Asuka, 140 for Ember Moon. So she was the one to take it right after Asuka left, and then she dropped it to Shayna, and then Kairi Sane, 71 days is the shortest reign. Raquel Gonzalez currently with 67. So again, it was not considered one of the greatest fucking reigns, you know, like I said, they're still trying to inflate it, at least in my opinion, but even my memory served as to thinking it was worse than it was. So good on her. But yeah, Raquel needed to hold this belt. Continue.
Part of me during that match, I was thinking like, okay, what if they had Ember Moon win this and Shotzi turns heel on her? Like, Shotzi comes out to help her win, but then Ember wins, and it's kind of like Shotzi didn't expect her to win, so she gets fucking pissed and beats the fuck out of her. And but you know, obviously Raquel needed to go over. She's only been the champion for a short period, and I feel like she should have a pretty good run with it. But in my mind at the time, I was like, man, that'd be really cool. Maybe if this was like, you know, 6 months from now and Ember was involved in this match and whatever. But
I agree. I can see that. You know, I feel like right now what's annoying me about WWE as a whole, and probably every wrestling promotion outside of AEW, and it's not anything other than the fact of fans. I feel like there's a lot of shit being held back because, oh, we want this to happen in front of fans.
Yeah.
Oh, we want this to happen in front of fans. Why? Why? If it's the right time, do it then. You know, I'm not saying it was the right time for Ember to win this and Shotzi, you know, and then have a turn.
Sure.
But I feel like, you know, let some shit fucking happen. If you feel it's the right time, pull the fucking trigger, you know? Oh, well. Finally, last match, NXT championship match, Fatal 5-Way match. I just want to let everybody know, do not worry. There was a definitive winner. It wasn't called a no contest. Look, you guys know everyone who listens to this show knows we will call anything the fuck out every fucking time it happens, no matter what promotion. We're, however, not the fucking idiot marks who will give a free pass to anything that does whatever would WWE would do, and then we're going to bitch about WWE doing it. We've shit all over the no DQ Hell in a Cell matches. I'm going to be really fucking, I'm really fucking pissed off at the Fatal 5-Way match for the number one contendership for the Impact title that happened at Against All Odds because they called a no contest because interference from the outside happened. Fuck you.
That's fucking stupid.
That's not how that fucking shit works. Outside interference happened. Guess what? Ace Austin should have just fucking won it. Fucking Madman Fulton. I couldn't remember his name to say for to save my life during the NXT pay-per-view because I was trying to talk about it with Daniel. Fulton comes in, destroys the entire fucking sick the way he destroyed the entire fucking cavalcade of wrestlers that weren't Ace Austin.
Good word.
And thanks, man. Great. I love my grammar. My vocabulary. And then the ref calling it a no contest. Fucking horse shit. That's not how it works. The fucking Ace Austin should have won it. And I didn't even pick him on my scorecard. This one, champion won. Good ending. And it's really funny. And I want to talk about that because Karrion Kross made Kyle O'Reilly pass out for a submission. It was Karrion Kross defending against Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne. And he won by a technical submission. 26-minute match. Really good match. Really long match. But not once that I... Maybe a little bit at the end, I was like, okay. But it's only because like all of a sudden it became a submission fest, which is weird to say, in a Fatal 5-Way. And the reason I bring that up is because I saw Smitty pick submission. And I'm like, dude, it's a 5-Way match. Like, I'm literally shit-talking him with Daniel. Going, who the fuck picks a submission in a 5-Way match? Like, what kind of dumb shit is that? And Daniel's like, yeah, that seems weird. Like, it's kind of hard to pull a submission off. You know, like, you'd have to clear out the entire fucking ring. And then all of a sudden, the submissions start. And I'm like, okay, we're getting into this. It's not really going to happen. And then they keep going. And then they keep going. And then fucking Kross wins with that submission. I'm like, God fucking damn it. But major props to the NXT referee. He didn't just fucking call it. He lifted the arm. The arm fell. We didn't get the three times. They're not doing three times anymore. I'm just happy they did fucking one because it was submission. He passed out. Awesome. Wonderful. Not just calling it. There was a lifeless move. Very happy about that. Nick, your thoughts on this match?
Whatever happened to that? The dropping of the arm three times. I'm okay with the way they're doing it now. But every time it happens, when they just let the arm fall once, part of me always goes back to why.
I think it's a Hogan thing. If I'm being very honest, I think it's a Hogan thing. I think that's how the Hulk up mm-hmm. up started. One, two, third one doesn't fall. Oh, brother. Oh, uh-huh. brother. Oh, shaking my head. Can't drop the N-word. Shaking my head. They're recording. I can't drop the N-word. You can't not say the N-word either. I think that's how he hulked up. yeah. So I think that's how, and then it kind of went to the one arm just so it wasn't the hulking up thing. And then it just went to nothing. Then it was, he looks out. I'm going to call it. And right. I think that's the problem is it's a visual and wrestling is a visual sport. If you're not at least going to lift an arm to let it fall, I have a problem with this. I could see two, you know, let one fall and then do it again just to confirm. But mm-hmm. at least they're doing one. I can be happy with that because they were starting to do none for a very long time. And it was very fucking annoying because you have no fucking clue if this person's actually out or not just by going, hey, you there? Hey, they're fucking getting submitted, right? Give them a chance.
Yeah, I can get on board with that. Especially Kyle O'Reilly sold that submission really well. Like when you saw the look on his face, yeah, like his eyes were all fucking crossed and he looked like he was being choked the fuck out. So that definitely worked. I think the match started a little slow for me. And then once they threw Karrion Kross through the front door, which
they threw him in your house.
she was waiting all fucking night to comment on that. She now I can't even remember what the fuck she said. I knew I should have wrote it down. But anyway, but then the match started picking up for me.
Beth Phoenix?
Yeah. She said
I did not hear what she said.
She cracked
I made the in your house joke myself.
She said something about him going into your house or being something. I can't remember the joke she used. I was like, oh man, she's been waiting for that one. I liked Kyle O'Reilly came out and then on his hoodie, he paid homage to Demolition. It said like axe and smash.
Yeah.
It's funny on my notes, I typed Gargano, but it auto-corrected to Garbanzo.
That's a good bean.
When he got powerbombed into the ring apron by Karrion Kross, that was brutal. He took a couple of really good bumps from Kross. Pete Dunne, no-selling the German suplex from Karrion Kross. I think that was pretty cool. I'm not a big fan of when dudes no-sell moves, but like it worked really well because you could tell he was like trying to keep himself pumped up and keep going, and it ultimately didn't work. But the match was okay. You know, it was pretty good. Again, not something that was amazing, but it worked, and they definitely should have kept the belt on Kross. I unfortunately did not pick him to win.
Picked Adam Cole. Why did you think Adam Cole was going to win this?
Because, you know, rumors start getting into my head when you hear, Kross is going to go up to the main roster. And I know it doesn't have to be immediate, but I'm thinking, well, there's a draft coming up. So maybe they give it to Cole and that would be really cool. Like Cole and O'Reilly or Cole and Pete Dunne or, you know, all these scenarios. So then I sell myself on the idea of Adam Cole winning, even though in reality, why the fuck wouldn't Karrion Kross win this match, regardless of what's going to happen in his future? So, the match was cool. You know, it was a five-way. I wasn't expecting anything outrageous, but yeah, it was a good finish.
So the only rumor that I was listening to with this is the possibility of Samoa Joe coming back and signing for NXT as a wrestler. And it's only because they saw him at the Performance Center. And he could have went to Performance Center to have a conversation. He could have went to the Performance Center because he forgot his underwear. We don't know why he was there, right? My thought process is if Samoa Joe came back as an in-ring competitor on NXT, one, awesome. Two, I understand him being released. Still to this day, I understand Joe being released. I fully believe it sucked, right? But if you're not cleared to compete, they don't know when you might be cleared to compete, and they're paying you in-ring talent for a commentator, get rid of them. Same reason why Braun Strowman should have been released. Bye, $1 million. We're barely using you. See you later.
God damn, is that how much he was making?
Yeah, he was making $1 million a fucking year. So I get that. I understand the releases of these people because you're trying to bring down your overhead, and you could say, oh, they made the most profits. Dude, there's still a fucking business, right? And if you're paying grossly overpaying someone for something, you're going to get rid of it. It's life. It's how it is. Sorry. That being said, maybe it's possible that the doctors came back shortly after and they're like, yo, because he's got about another month until his 90 days is up. So we're talking 2 months later now. Maybe he saw a doctor and they said, we think he's good to go. Or maybe they saw a doctor and the doctor said, yo, he'll be good to go in about a month. Maybe two. Bringing Joe back to NXT to wrestle, I'm down with. Also, make less money in NXT. Sorry, just it's the way the world works, right? NXT isn't drawing the ratings that Raw, it's getting close now, or SmackDown are bringing in. But therefore, you're not going to make as much money. And I'm sorry, people like to bitch about the fucking WNBA and the women's soccer team not bringing in as much. They don't get paid that much because they don't bring in as much. I'm sorry. That's just how it goes.
That's the hard truth right there.
And look, I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but I think the women's soccer team is more likely to get paid equally to the men's soccer team because they're actually starting to bring in numbers because they're going undefeated and winning and winning and winning. And the men's soccer team, no one's really paying attention to. So they're probably going to start making more than the men soon. And they should, because they bring in more viewers. They have more ad rates. The fucking NXT product is the exact same fucking thing. It's WWE. You should not be getting paid as much in NXT as you are if you're on Raw or SmackDown, because the ad rates aren't as big. The viewership isn't as big. However, you put Joe on NXT, I can see him being one of the bigger guys and deserving a little bit more money than some of the people already getting in NXT, because he's a name, a valued name that people, he would pop an NXT rating. He would make that go up, not Raw yet, but still maybe they'll beat an AEW that week. So again, if you're paying Joe this ridiculous amount of money to perform on a WWE Raw or WWE SmackDown, but he can't perform and now he's going to perform on NXT again, should come back for less. Fully agree with that. However, if I'm Joe, I want a little more creative control. And Joe's run in NXT was fucking stellar. He is the first two-time NXT champion. He is great. And when his run was in NXT, and he was dominant. So I would like to see him in NXT, because I think NXT is one of those things like an NWA or AEW to where he'll get a run. You know, but the problem is, I don't think he'd get a run in AEW. I think AEW has their next couple years planned for their fucking main title. And I don't think Joe will touch that. You know, I think if Joe's going to come back and he's going to go somewhere, he needs to go somewhere. We'll have a good main event run before he's done. And then he starts putting over other people, and he'll get that in like a Ring of Honor. He might get that in an Impact. He'll definitely get it in NXT. Plus, it's all fucking new people now, man. When Joe left NXT and came back, whole bunch of new people to play with on the fucking main scene for that. So
that's right.
I understand that. That being said, that was the rumor I bit into, but I thought he would attack after the match, and it really fucking seemed like they were setting up for that. They set up for something else, and we'll talk about that. But Karrion Kross going over, I definitely believed he would take it. There's no reason for him to lose it. I agree with you about this call up, and I think a call up leaving, I think Samoa Joe would be the type of guy that could beat a Karrion Kross and not hurt him, because Joe's a fucking beast,
right?
So I agree with you on these rumors. You kind of listen to them. But yeah, I really thought Karrion would retain, and he did. And man, some of those spots for a minute, Johnny Gargano was the only one hitting any fucking high spot, right? Every time you saw him do something, it was coming off of a rope going out of the ring, and they knocked out Karrion for a little bit when they sent him into the house. And it was a good way to have a guy who probably doesn't have the cardio as all four of these guys to stay out, and they did it a couple times. I mean, it's a 26 minute match. I want to say he was there for 14 of it, right? So a little over half, and that's fine because he's the big guy. So they were even mentioning it, you know, it seems like if you're not putting him down, he comes back, you get a tranquilizer dart to knock him out. So they put him over pretty big on commentary, which is always a good thing. It was just a situation where it was a little more noticeable because they kept saying it on commentary.
Right.
But whatever, your workhorses are the other four. And they did great. They did great. The moments with Pete Dunne, I feel bad for Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne deserves so much more than he's getting right now.
He really does.
But it's not like I'm mad about what they have going in any of those other spots. Right. It's like if Samoa Joe went to AEW, you'd be like, he's having a great program with this person. I wish he had the main title, but I'm not going to get it because there's already other great stuff going on. So I would like to see Pete Dunne have some sort of run with any type of title in NXT. I feel he's better than the guy to use for good matches. I feel he deserves a decent run, even if it's just the North American title. Hopefully by the end of this year, it happens. If not by WrestleMania weekend next year.
I could see him and Bronson Reed putting out a banger.
I think he could lift him. I think he could get fucking Reed up. I'm not saying I can see him getting him up for his finisher. You know, he barely did it with Kross in this match. It's more of the other guy. The other guy has to be able to jump and twist and fall. you know, kayfabe's dead. So, yeah, I really liked this match. I thought this match, I'm not going to say it's a match of the year contender, but it was a five-way match that you were sitting back going, yeah, you're right. This is kind of awesome. I agree with that chant. Fight forever. Comment the fuck down. Anything that you kind of wish would have happened that didn't? Or did this match just check all your boxes? Was it just wonderful strawberry jelly, a nice toasted bread and crunchy peanut butter just melt in your mouth? Delicioso.
It's not cheating if you let your dog lick the peanut butter.
Off your sandwich, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I would have changed anything. Again, I know I picked Adam Cole, but the right guy did go over. I mean, everything worked. Honestly, you've got arguably five of the best guys that NXT has right now in one match. So, I mean, it's not like, well, if you would have put this guy in the match, or, you know, Finn Balor has been on the, I don't know where he's been. He's been off TV. You know, you could have swapped him maybe, but what they did tonight worked really well. You didn't need to have anybody else in the match. Like I said, five of the best guys in the NXT. Yeah, it really did work. And like you said, the rest spots for Karrion Kross, they were placed well when he got thrown through the door, when he got thrown out of the table, that all worked.
That fucking powerbomb style move, he did the Gargano. Like when he was doing his thing, he threw fucking O'Reilly over the barricade. Then he threw Cole over the barricade. Then Gargano tried to come down. He caught him. And he fucking slammed him into the fucking corner of that ramp. Oh,
that was brutal.
Dude, I was like, fuck off. Uh-huh. And then of course, he threw fucking Pete Dunne over back onto the other two guys. That was a great spot. It was a wonderful spot to watch, see how much power he had. You know, I thought the beginning of the match where they decided to go after each other and then Pete Dunne turned and start fighting Karrion Kross. I thought that was good as well. And I thought fucking Bennett put it over. Stu Bennett, fucking Bad News Barrett, put it. His name. I keep calling by his shoot name. I thought Barrett did really well putting over. These guys are afraid of Karrion Kross. And then Pete Dunne was the first one to go at him. Makes sense. Bruiserweight. Fucking beast. Love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problems with this match other than, you know, I guess when you think of NXT TakeOver, we always talk about it. NXT TakeOvers are just like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. And this one was just like, you kind of expected all these people to win. And outside of the $1 million title match, you know, the people that were supposed to win won. And I'm not even saying like LA Knight wasn't supposed to win. It was just, that was more of a, oh, the fuck, who's going to win? You know, you kind of expected Karrion Kross to win. You knew it was made sense for Raquel Gonzalez to retain. You know, Reed and MSK, smart play right there. Xia Li, of course she was going to win. You got to keep that undefeated streak going. You know, so okay. I guess when you have a pay-per-view where it's kind of understood what you're getting out of it, as in the ending of the match, the winners, you kind of have to do more to make the journey better. You know what I'm saying? And we've always said that predictive is fine, because no matter how you get there, as long as how you get there is, you know, entertaining, it's a good fucking time. And I feel like this was, it had entertainment factors of it. I just feel like not the best NXT pay-per-view. Definitely not the worst, kind of average, you know, and that's good. But they were really smart with the final thing that they put in there of William Regal. And they showed it a lot. There was a lot of fucking shit happening. Kyle O'Reilly and Gargano fighting in the beginning, right? And then you saw Karrion Kross and Pete Dunne fighting in the back. And then as Gargano's walking out, you're watching these two, the fucking four women fighting, you know, Gonzalez and Ember and Shotzi and Dakota Kai. So it goes to the back because you know, Kross is standing on the stage and you're like, oh shit, here comes Joe. here's these rumors. And he didn't come, and it shot to the back, and, you know, she was walking up, Sarah was walking up, and she asked, you know, Regal, hey, how did you feel about tonight? How did you feel about the show? And he's like, you know, never have I seen so much bedlam as I've
tears
seen.
Tears in his eyes.
Right. Like, he was crying and shit, yeah. Dude. Like, he was like emotional as fuck. And he's like, it's time for a change. It's a really good Regal. I think I'm really good at Regal.
That's not bad.
Thanks, man. So I guess the next question is, I did not mention it at all to you, and so I'm kind of throwing you under the bus here. Nick, what kind of change do you think might be coming for NXT? Regal going to retire?
That's kind of what I took from it.
Yeah.
New leadership. Yeah.
It's crazy because
he's go ahead, done.
Sorry. He's done?
Like, done, you know.
That's crazy, man, because I think he's the best general manager.
Sure, yeah. Oh, 100%.
I think it's the way they have used him is spectacular. He interrupts when he needs to interrupt. He has moments where he's not the ultimate authority figure. Like, he's not always siding with the face. He's not always siding with the heel. He is doing it fair, always down the middle. And you have to appreciate that about Rhea. I love it. I love that type of authority figure. I wish WWE knew how to do that on Raw and SmackDown. I think it would make so much sense. You know, if you used an Adam Pearce or a Sonya Deville like that.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope he's not retiring. I hope that. I don't know. What's the next pay-per-view? Are they going to do something to SummerSlam?
Yeah, they've got great. It's not a pay-per-view, but
Great American Bash, Tuesday, July 6th.
But yeah, SummerSlam.
We'll see, man. I kind of hope he doesn't go unless he's just ready to go. You know, I just think he's in a great fucking role. I love it. I think he should stay. So we'll see.
I would agree. And I can't think of anything beyond that, beyond him leaving, mm-hmm. of what, you know, changes could happen, you know.
So what do you rate this one out of 10?
I'd give it a 7.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give it a 6.5. The reason I'm going to give it a 6.5 is because we've given some of the higher ones, we've given them around an 8. I think the lowest one we've given, it may have been a 5. So 6.5 right in the middle there. Because I think that's what this was, average NXT in your house. NXT TakeOver. This one in your house, 2021. Yeah, so that's it for us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening to our recap of NXT TakeOver in your house, 2021. Make sure you check out breakingdowntheRing.com. You can follow us on all of our social medias from there or at BDRcast in any one of your social medias. And you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And if you go to breakingdowntheRing.com, remember, feel free to click on the official merch. Get yourself a Breaking Down the Ring Pride shirt. Again, 100% of the profits. And I mean it, 100%. I run this shop. I set it up. I have it going to where 100% of the profits, which is literally the only thing I pay for, is the amount of the shirt and the print. The rest of it goes right to the Trevor Project. And again, this isn't just a Pride Month thing. It is year round. We support the Trevor Project. Please go check it out. Please feel free to buy a shirt. Support the show. Support the people who might have a hard time in dealing with things in their life because maybe they're scared to come out to their family. Maybe their family has made it very clear they don't want them to be this way. A lot of people end up taking their own life because of the fear of coming out or the fear of dealing with who they really are inside. So please feel free to support us, Trevor Project, or just, man, fucking go to Trevor Project and donate directly to them. You don't even need to buy a shirt from us, but it's really cool if you do, because then you're talking about us.
And it's a win-win.
Fucking win, motherfucking win. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it so much. That's it for us. Thank you so much for listening. We are your ring crew.
Nick.
And the old Mikey one, Mikey himself. Thanks for listening. We are.